acceptable time. Turn us again, O God of our salvation. May your justice shine like the sun.
And may the glory of
joyous light of glory.
Let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, O Lord, and let your loving kindness descend upon us, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever. My heart is in anguish within me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. Yes, I would wander afar away, I would lodge in the wilderness. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you were rejected by your people, betrayed by the kiss of a friend, and deserted by your disciples. In our trouble, give us the confidence that you had in the Father and the assurance of our salvation, now and forever.
Reading from Mark chapter 14. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The word of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The Lord spoke those words to Simon Peter, but the Lord is not dead. The Lord is risen, and therefore every word he has ever spoken remains alive. Those words were spoken to Simon Peter, but but they were also spoken to us. Are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. There are times I say to myself, I'm going to pray for a good long hour. And I take all the prayers of thanksgiving I have for God, all the prayers for his kingdom that he has given me to pray, all the prayers for you that you've given me and for the congregation and for the families and for my family and for our enemies, and prayers of repentance for myself and prayers for our community and for our nation. And I think, wow. And I look at the clock and it's been 17 and a half minutes. Could you not watch for even 1 hour? How about a lifetime? Temptation stands at the door, says Holy Scripture. It stands at the door of your heart every day, far greater temptation that you can imagine. Certainly, you and I always face those kinds of temptations that people think of when we say the word temptation. Temptations of the heart and of our desires, of our lusts and of our greeds, temptations of the eye and of the hands and of the stomach. But then there are the deeper temptations to which those temptations really just operate like gateways. There are the temptations of denying God, the temptation of dishonoring God, the temptation of thinking your own judgments to be wiser than God's word. There's the temptation of sitting in judgment on all around you, the temptation of loving death more than life, the temptation to hold yourself back from the way of love and faith and hope. Those temptations are so deep that we don't usually even feel them until they've gotten a hold of us. And only then can we look backwards and ask ourselves, where was it that somewhere, in some way, somehow, at some time, God got a hold of me, but the devil was there, and the devil kept nudging me away from God. Over and against those temptations, Jesus tells us to watch and to pray. As the old hymn goes, "Rise, my soul, to watch and pray. From your sleep awaken. Be not by the evil day unawares o'ertaken. For the foe, well we know, is a harvest reaping while the saints are sleeping." Yes, we know well enough that the devil is smarter than us, craftier than us, and likely has no need for sleep. We know that we are in danger. We know that we are supposed to pray. But when Jesus comes looking for our prayer, not just the habit of prayer, but the spirit of prayer and the love of prayer, the life of prayer in our hearts, how often could he say to each of us, "Are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour?" Temptation knocks at the door. No, if you and I are going to be found faithful in the task of prayer, we need someone better than ourselves. If you and I are going to be faithful in the task of prayer, we cannot rely on ourselves to pray, and we cannot look at the task of prayer as simply our task to accomplish and fulfill. We need a truly faithful Son of God to pray for us, whose prayers are already eternal and steadily offered on our behalf. And we have such a faithful Son of God in Jesus, Jesus who never sleeps again because he has risen from the dead, Jesus who sits at the right hand and prays for you eternally, Jesus who sends his Holy Spirit into your lives to pray for you with sighs far too deep for words. Our Lord Jesus, who poured out his blood for you, and by that blood sanctifies even our smallest and most sinful prayer. Jesus, who gives us his own word, spoken through his church, to teach us how to pray. That task of learning to pray has been our goal this Lent. And because we are such sinners, or at least I am such sinners, though we are loved by God, our task here might strike the world out there, and even the world in here, in these hearts of ours, as rather small and unimpressive. Prayer at bedtime, prayer in the morning, prayer at mealtime. How important are these things? And these prayers from the catechism we've been learning, do we really need to pay attention to those? Aren't prayers from the heart better prayers? Can't we just use what we've already known and do what we've already done? And really, aren't there deeper revelations to pursue and more to learn? Isn't there more complexity to the life of prayer? Isn't it the case that sometimes these pastors hold back on us and don't give us all that they could give us? Isn't there more to prayer than this? Careful. If you have ever found yourself thinking any of those things, I know I have, then you have experienced firsthand how quickly temptation fills our hearts and minds, how easily the devil gets us to look down on what Jesus gives us, a whole church with nothing better to do than to teach you how to pray at bedtime, or in the morning, or at mealtime. And how quickly the devil turns us to look at ourselves and at our own experiences and at our own ability to pray and at our own desire for prayer rather than at the Lord's promises regarding prayer. So let's answer a few of those questions quickly. First, prayers from our own heart are not necessarily better than prayers we learn by heart. Remember, our hearts are the problem. That's what Jesus says. It is from our hearts that all evil thoughts and evil desires come. So what a blessing, really, to have prayers that we can learn by heart, prayers that others have given us to learn by heart based on the Word of God. Of course you may pray from the heart. God is your Father. He's going to listen to you for Jesus' sake. Pray from your heart, but also pray by heart. There is nothing to judge here better than the other. Second, of course, there are deeper revelations and more to learn when it comes to prayer. But we're not holding back, because the truth is this. If you and I were to study prayer for 1,000 years and pray for 500 hours a month, there would always be more. Because the heart of our prayer is not our prayer. The heart of our prayer is that eternal prayer that Jesus offers for us and that we trust more than our own prayer. The heart of our prayer is the blood that he shed for us and that makes our prayers holy and acceptable before God. So we must check our desire to know more and understand that sometimes our desire to know more is a little bit of pride and a little bit of greed and a little bit of doubt. And we must remember that faith, not knowledge, is ultimately what deepens our prayer life. And that brings us to the third answer. These simple things, prayer at night, prayer in the morning, prayer at mealtime, they are deeply and profoundly important. Far more important than the world out there sees, or even the world in here in our hearts may see. For remember how Jesus works. Jesus works in the small things, the lowly things, the despised things. And we see that in his own life. Today is the Annunciation, March 25th, the day that we celebrate the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. It is on the basis of this date that Christmas was chosen 9 months later. Jesus started out as a little cell in the womb of Mary, a cell of which the world took no note and to which the world paid no regard. Likewise, when Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was one of hundreds, maybe thousands of Jews who were kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane that night and praying, because it's on the Mount of Olives that Jews camped for the Passover. There were tons of people crawling all over that mountain. So what did his prayer look like among so many? But within the little things of Jesus, big things are happening. That little cell in Mary's womb was God, and from him has come the salvation of the world. The prayers that he offered on the Mount of Olives were the purest, cleanest, and holiest prayers ever uttered in all of history. And from them has come every single one of our prayers. And so in Holy Scripture, we find Jesus praying in the morning. We found him praying in the evening. We found him praying at mealtime. Will we trust his pattern of prayer to be our own? Will we pray at morning and in the evening and at mealtime, trusting that in these small things God is doing something big? Indeed, we will. In those small daily practices, there is the basis of a robust, sanctifying Christian culture. Because prayer, in the end, is the mind of God, revealed to you, enveloping you, calling you into his mind. And our tables are the gift of God, where the church meets both creation and grace. To be engaged in these small things is to be part of the biggest thing that the world has ever seen. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Holy Church, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, for all public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord. Weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful who have gone before us and are at rest, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously
us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.